I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel reading that was just read for us is our text for this morning. On this Sunday, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man was created in the image of God to dwell in the presence of God. The Apostle John, in his revelation, saw this. He said, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." Our sin, however, cast us out from the garden, so that division and rebellion now marks our lives, our relationship with God ever since. And therefore, God has to act in our world to save, to redeem, in order that we might ascend into his presence forever. So we celebrate today the ascension of Christ, for in him we ascend to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're celebrating for 7 weeks now after the resurrection of our Lord, we're celebrating Easter. And this is a feast because Christ's resurrection secures for us redemption. United in body and soul and resurrection life, we now dwell with our triune God in Christ. Today, we celebrate the ascension of Christ, who is the true man, who was taken up into God's presence, so that now we who are united to him ascend in him to dwell forever. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, now that you have assured us of the completion of our redemption through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, would you give us the will to show forth in our lives what we profess with our lips? Ascended Christ, you reign as King. Teach us and feed us now from your word that we might serve faithfully, bear witness confidently, dwell in your presence joyfully. Amen. Verse 50 of our passage reads this way, "Then he, being Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them." Whenever we see the town Bethany in Scripture, we see Jesus ascending. Not only him, but then he takes his people with him. There is a certain Bethany across the Jordan River where Jesus in that region was baptized, and he ascends from the river, enters into the promised land to go and conquer. There's another Bethany close to Jerusalem where, of course, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, ascending over death, conquering death. Still another time at Bethany, Simon's house, there was a woman who knelt down and anointed him. And that anointing was all preparation for him to rise and to ascend the gates of Jerusalem, where he would then ascend his glorious cross. We find Jesus at the end of Luke's gospel at Bethany once again, and again he is ascending, but this time it is to the Father, verse 51. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. It's pretty simple. Acts 1, Luke records this event in more detail, but it simply says, he blessed them, parted from them, was carried up into heaven. Ascension. Ascending to the Father. That was Jesus' aim of his life and of his ministry, and therefore, it becomes the aim of our life and ministry as well, where we ascend in Christ to dwell in communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the entirety of Scriptures point this out. Man is made to dwell in the presence of God, but because of sin, we must ascend. And all of Scripture points that too. Look at back at verse 44 and 45. Jesus is still teaching his disciples where he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, the law, the prophets, the Psalms. They all bear witness to the fact that Christ must ascend in order that we, his people, might ascend in him. Psalm 47 was read earlier in our service. And in that psalm, we are reminded that God himself is exalted, that God sits upon a throne, ascended as the Most High King, this King who reigns upon his holy throne forever. Psalm 47. Psalm 2 reminds us that God will raise his anointed one, his Christ, to ascend the throne. That this this Christ, this anointed one, will rule as king on the throne. Psalm 110 reminds us that David, the earthly king, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, David is looking for a heavenly king to rule over him as well. All the Psalms are promise that we need one to go before us who will ascend into God's presence. And that one who ascends into God's presence will take his people with him. That is how we ascend. Adam and Eve, think about this. Adam and Eve were created and given to rule the world as vice regents under God's kingship. They were earthly king and queen, serving humanity to take dominion, where their job is to heavenize earth. Fallen in sin, however, our first parents and all humanity since have sought to usurp God's holy throne. That's what sin is, where we grasp after glory. That's why we need one to come, enter into flesh, the one who does not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but one who will give his royal life for his people. That one must be willing to descend in order that the Father would then raise him up. And then as he raises him up, the Father will also ascend or take him to heaven to rule as king. And a quick reading of the Psalms reveals a promise that one is coming, anointed one of God, who will ascend God's throne as king. The Psalms sing of Jesus, our divine king. And as the Psalms sing that same thing, so do the prophets. They bear witness that humanity must ascend through God and his suffering servant. See, prophets, like think of Job, right? He held counsel with God. That's what a prophet does. They hold counsel with God in his presence, that they may mediate between God and between men. Think about who ascended a mountain. Moses, a prophet of God, had to ascend a mountain to commune with God. Elijah had to ascend a mountain to dwell with God as well. And Elijah was then, of course, later taken up in the same way that Enoch was taken up. These ascensions of the Old Testament are foreshadowing that the anointed one must come and be taken up or ascended into heaven as well. So, of course, when we get to the New Testament, we've got Jesus, who is the Word, not just the prophet. He is the Word that ascends to live and intercede forevermore. The Psalms, the prophets, and also the law reveals that Jesus has to ascend. See, the priests who obey the law of Moses, they regularly ascended into God's presence. As the servants of God's house, they had access into God's holy presence once a year to the Holy of Holies. Their job was to inspect, to pray, to butcher, to burn. Why? What's the point of all of that? In order that man can ascend into the holy presence of God. That's the whole point of the sacrificial system. And Jesus tells us again in verse 44 that he is the fulfillment of all that the law taught. Jesus, in his physical, bodily, resurrected form, opens the eyes of his disciples as they review Psalms, as they review the prophets, as they review the law. And Jesus is saying, it's all fulfilled in me, and I'm going to ascend to the Father as they are telling us. He is the final prophet. He is the true priest. And he is the eternal king who has all right and authority to ascend into the throne and to be seated to rule and reign forevermore. Verse 51, while he blessed them, he parted from them, and he was carried up into the heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. He promises to take his people with them. Verse 46 and 47, and Jesus said to them, "This it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." The redeemed of Christ ascend to dwell with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Contained in the phrase that Jesus quotes here, for the forgiveness of sins, contained in that phrase is the sum and total of redemption in Jesus Christ. Jesus accomplishes what humanity could not. He lived the life in this fallen world, and it culminated in his ascension to the Father. But this ascension is possible. Jesus ascends only because he remained faithful and true as a human. Jesus goes before us, preparing our way, becoming our way. So consider this. Think about Adam and Eve dwelling in the presence of God in the land of Eden, in the garden. That was man's first home, and that was high up. How do we know it was high up? Because rivers were flowing through the garden, and they were flowing down and out. A high place was this garden, was this land of Eden. And when man sinned in the garden, what did that mean but exile, which means moving away from the garden sanctuary, down and out, away from the presence of a holy God. Man was created to dwell in the high place with God, but since the fall, our trajectory has always been down and away, which requires an ascension. This is the trajectory of humanity since the fall. So think about this also. When God recreated the world after the flood, where did Noah and his family land? But on a high place. Their dominion began with planting a vineyard in this high place, and the dominion would spread. Moses had to ascend the mountain to speak with God. The same with Elijah. Even Jesus, prior to going to the cross, what does he do? He ascends the Mount of Olives to commune with his Father. What was Israel continually condemned for in the Old Testament but this? They worshiped at high places not authorized by God. Good kings would rise up, but they failed to remove the high places. Time and again, man bearing God's image was made to ascend into God's presence. Jesus, who is the true man, suffers and dies in order that we might rise and ascend in him. Moreover, think about the entire sacrificial system. Think about the offerings that were given. It portrays is humanity ascending God's presence. As we reviewed earlier in 45 and 46, he's saying all of that was written in the law is fulfilled in me. So let's look at the law and then the sacrifices. What it is, the sacrifices of the Old Testament, as you read it, what you recognize is that the worshiper who brings an animal, say, is identifying himself with the animal by laying his hands on that animal. Whatever happens to the animal is happening to me as the worshiper, right? After he offers the animal, then the priest comes with his sharp, priestly, two-edged sword, and he pierces bone and marrow, and he divides, being slain. Substitution is granted as an animal sin offering is then situated on the altar. This is all what's happening to the worshiper. Broken in sin, the Lord must take apart and then put on the altar where the sacrifice is burned or consumed with fire. And what happens to the sacrifice then when it's consumed? What happens? It rises as smoke to ascend as a pleasing aroma to God. Just step back and look at the entire sacrificial system. It is a picture of humanity in their sin, forgiven and ascending into the holy presence of God. That's what the entire system is showing forth and what Jesus is accomplishing. Jesus opens the eyes of the disciples and they begin to see as they look through Scripture, that's what the law was talking about. That's what the Psalms were singing about. That's what the prophets were talking about. Jesus becoming our sacrifice that we might ascend in him, a pleasing aroma to God. And the book of Hebrews goes on to connect dots for us a little bit more. Hebrews images Jesus as the great high priest. Who had access to God's presence? It was the priesthood, right? They had access to God's presence. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the great high priest. That he passes from the world through the curtain, right? The curtain into the Holy of Holies. The temple imaged in Hebrews is not the earthly temple, but the heavenly temple. All the tabernacles and temples that were built after that, they all were modeled upon the heavenly temple or tabernacle. And Jesus has passed through that curtain that was torn upon his crucifixion. Jesus passes through that curtain as his flesh is torn, and now he lives and he speaks face to face, communing with the Father and the Holy Spirit, joyful in the presence of the all-consuming fire. Jesus passed through the heavens to dwell in God's heavenly presence. And in so doing, not only is he our sacrifice, but he becomes our great high priest who lives forevermore to intercede on our behalf. Jesus becomes our ascension offering. But more than that, he is our high priest through whom we now have access into God's presence. The Day of Ascension is a celebration because it reminds us that we have access to God's holy presence. The author of Hebrews writes to his people and he encourages them. He says, persevere no matter what comes, no matter what trials, no matter what hardships come. Hold fast to Christ because he is anchored in heaven with the Father. Tethered to him, you have access to Father, Son, Holy Spirit for all eternity. Now, if that is true, will we despair that our sin be too great for God to look upon us and to forgive us? If it is true that we have a great high priest who intercedes for us in heaven, will we then shrink back or fear temptations of Satan or pressures, persecutions from God's enemy? Do we not have the ear of God? Will he not grant his Son all that he asks? The Day of Ascension is a reminder that we have great confidence that we belong to Christ, and in him we have access to the Father and the Holy Spirit from now throughout all eternity. Luke ends his gospel here, but he's going to write book two. He's going to write the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And really, that's just the Acts of Jesus Christ through the life of his disciples. Wherever he went, his disciples followed. And that is the pattern for us as well. And it culminates in the life of ascension. We bear witness to Christ as we walk in step with him according to his Spirit. We are given by Jesus as witnesses to the world. So that's what, look at verse 48 and 49. That's what he's teaching them all this. He's opening their eyes. And what does he tell them in verse 48? You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. They are witnesses of Christ and his ascension. Jesus reigns. We are but subjects of the King. And as subjects, we are called to bear witness to who he is, the work he has accomplished, and the work he continues to do on behalf of his people, his church. Jesus reigns. We are but subjects of the King. That's what I love about ascension. It reminds us that Jesus has assumed the throne, and he is reigning even now. That's important, because we have to see that by faith, don't we? It looks so often like he is not the one reigning, but we trust by faith that he has ascended and he is seated on the throne. And we are called to bear witness. We are commissioned to bear witness with our lips and with our lives that God's word has entered into heaven and he's watching over the world as king. Jesus' ascension casts our eyes up and out. Our eyes and our hearts look up and our lives are thrust out into the world. And though Christ is absent physically, he has not left us alone. He says again in verse 49, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. I am sending the promise. We are to be witnesses empowered in glory with the Spirit. The Spirit is given. When recounting the events of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches and he says this, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out to you this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. This promise is the Holy Spirit that is given to the disciples that they might be dispersed. We see the fulfillment of what Jesus promised here, that he is sending the promise of the Father, the Spirit. We see that fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. The disciples were obedient. Where do we see them in the book of Acts? They're waiting. They go back to the city. They worship. They wait for him. And as they wait, Jesus ascends. The glory cloud of fire then in Acts 2, the glory cloud of fire descends on top of the apostles. And they are given power. They are anointed. Jesus promises that when he departs, it will be a better arrangement. Now, that would take faith, wouldn't it? I'm going away, and it's better for you that I go away. He sends his Spirit. He now dwells with his people in his Spirit through his Spirit, so that we know, because he has ascended, we trust that he has sent his Spirit, and we know now that we are not alone. The Spirit indeed advocates for us in our weakness. The Spirit is promised to be our comforter as Christ is present with us, not in an absence of pain and sorrow, but through solidarity in his Spirit. He shares in our sufferings, and we are not alone. Conviction of sin is granted, so that we trust in the Spirit's work to work and soften our hearts when we are cold and indifferent. We trust in the Spirit to work in the lives of those we are witnessing to who remain hardened against God and of his grace. So people of God, we are a people empowered by the Spirit. His glory descended upon the apostles, and that same glory dwells within his church, his people. We are witnesses blessed by Christ. Don't you love verse 51? While he blessed them, he departed from them, carried them up to heaven. Verse 50, he led them out of Bethany, and he lifts his hands up, and he blesses them. He lifts his hands up, and he blesses them. The final words that Luke records are that of Jesus blessing his disciples. In the same way, we depart every Sunday with the blessing of God ringing in our ears. Week after week, we are fed, we are nourished, we renew covenant, and we are sent out. Well, the last thing we hear ringing in our ears is the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Now get out of here and transform the world. That's the subtext. Disciples may not have felt a lot different in verse 50 when Jesus raises his hands to bless them. As Pastor Dave and I raise our hands and send you with God's blessing, you may depart feeling absolutely no different than you did when you first came in. But know that in the action of raising our hands and of blessing you, we are the under-shepherds of Christ. It's not our blessing, it is Christ's blessing being given to you. And what that blessing does is it compels us into the world where we are given as living sacrifices, broken by God, remade by God in the glorious image of our Savior Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, Pastor Dave and I are simply imaging what Jesus does to his disciples as he prepares to send them out in the power of his Holy Spirit. We give the Lord's blessing to you so that in departing every week, we know that we are kept strong in the strong hand of God. That he who hears us now is the Son, and he lives to intercede for us. He has the ear of the Father, and Christ is pleading for us. The same Christ who washes us, who feeds us. That the same Christ turns towards us from his throne in grace, in mercy, and love. That the same Christ then gives us grace that saturates, that sustains, that propels into humble service. The ascension tells us and assures us that Christ is on the throne and that the world is being put to rights. And one day he will come back and put the world to rights finally and fully. But that we are sent out as the peace of the world, which is chaotic at times. And this is vital because our primary vocation, as we think about ascending in Christ, our primary vocation is then to be descend and to be sent out that we might worship our King in this world. Verse 52, this is how it ends. They worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. We are witnesses empowered by the Spirit, and we are witnesses who commune the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In obedience, these disciples returned to Jerusalem for a time. And for a time, that temple remained the house of God. But at Christ's ascension, as his disciples are dispersed throughout the world, Christ is the true temple who we now have access to God through him. And we can invite the world to him, to God through Christ the temple. But more than Jesus ascending as a temple, now we have access to him. But more than that, we the church who are living stones are built upon Christ who is the living stone. So that means that we are dispersed out into our workplaces, out into our neighborhoods, out into our homes, as the church, as the temple. We are pointers to Jesus Christ. He is our chief cornerstone, and he ascends before us, and we ascend in him, so that our primary vocation is to descend, to go out as worshipers of the triune God, calling others to dwell with us in the holy presence of God. We commune with God, and out of that communion, out of that dwelling with God, we live in peace and in love. Our hope for the world is that the church would be taken up into communion with the ascended and the risen Christ. And out of that communion would descend saints who have met with God and are pleased to speak his word to a world that is chaotic. Flowing from communion with God, we are then given for the life of the world. So do not fear, people of God. Our ascended Christ is reigning on the throne right now. And none can usurp his throne. And do not fear, our ascended Christ dwells with us now, and we with him, through his Spirit, empowering and encouraging. Ascending to him, we dwell moment by moment in his presence. And do not fear, for our risen and ascended King will come again. And with our risen and ascended King, he will descend, and with him he will bring a new heavens and a new earth. And indeed, all will one day be made well. Our ascended King reigns now and forevermore. Praise be to his name, our risen and ascended King. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your word, which is living and active. As we dwell and contemplate your ascension, by faith we receive this word, and we trust that we do dwell with you. In all of our faults and all of our failures, O Lord, I pray that you would give us confidence to enter the world in grace, in mercy, and in love. Having dwelled with you, would you give us strength to invite others into communion with you as well? Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.